Blog Talk Radio.
Because I'm having some slight difficulties, however, technical difficulties, but this is going to be resolved soon. I just want to say a happy, happy, happy new year to each and every one of you. To you, my listeners, I thank you for the support in 2012, and we are looking for a phenomenal, phenomenal 2013. And I am sure that this is my first guest on the line holding on. Good morning, Miss Maria. Is this you?
Yes, good morning. It's Maria. How are you doing? Happy New Year.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. Thanks for being patient. We, as a matter of fact, I'm doing the show on the phone and on the computer because you know that sometimes technology has a mind of their own. But with all that being said, we are going to be having a phenomenal show. Well, happy New Year to you. How did you spend the New Year?
I spent my New Year at home with my grandchildren and my son.
Oh, how wonderful.
So it was a good day.
I didn't even know you were a grandmama. Well, congratulations.
Thank you, darling.
I was blessed to have dinner with some friends of mine, and then I went to church, and then I came back and had some good conversation with my friends, and then went home to bed at about 4 o'clock. So it is
all good.
It is all good when you have company. Well, thanks, Maria, for agreeing to be on the radio show. I know you have been on the TV show before, but I'm so happy that you have set the time aside this morning to be on the show with me.
Well, thanks for having me. I do appreciate it and look forward to this morning.
Yes, yes. Introduce yourself, not your work, because we're going to get into your work and your career. But tell people about your humble beginnings, how you started off on this phenomenal part that you have evolved in. Tell them about, you know, as much as you want to tell them about your childhood, growing up, teenagers, and all of that good stuff.
Now we're going really, really way, 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 way back.
Not that far back, not that far.
I hear you. Again, I am Maria Thompson, owner and founder of Twist and Curve, and specialize in braids, locks, twists, and naturals. Born and raised in London, England, and my parents are Jamaican. So I really have enjoyed both cultures. Came to America in 1981, so now I have three cultures. And to be quite honest with you, I really enjoy where I've come from in terms of where the country I was born in, where I am now, and also my cultural background, because it makes you very diverse in terms of moving around and dealing with people and understanding people's behavior and being tolerant and accepting of it. So I really do appreciate that part of my upbringing. So, again, I've been here for 30 years. I enjoy it. The one thing I found about America is that it has so many different states. It's almost like being in a different country each state you go to. So, been married, have 3 children, and lived in California. Thoroughly enjoyed my few years that I spent there. And I also have 3 grandchildren. And I'm just enjoying life. At this stage in the game, I'm really enjoying life. I've been there, done that. So it's kind of my time now to relax and sit back and kind of look at things differently and work my business differently and live my life differently, you know?
Beautiful.
A little slower. a little slower.
You know, I love what you say, because oftentimes we talk to people about the psychology of the different communities that you mm-hmm. are a part of, and not too many people understand or embrace that. But indeed, every community, every surrounding that you become a part of has its own psychology.
Yeah.
And whether you are fully aware of it or not, it affects and impacts your life.
Sure
as,
does.
As we evolve and go along. So I just want to just applaud you for doing that. I noticed that my other guest is on holding on here. And I'm having such, oh, okay, I guess she was calling in at 10:30 and you were supposed to call in. Could you just hold a minute, Maria?
I sure just, can.
Just, Dr. Dina, I'm not sure if you're hearing me live. So if you would call 646-915-8166. I'm just so messed up with the technology this morning. It's not funny. Yes, because I thought you were supposed to call in at 10:30. So I'm seeing what she's saying. Santira leaves. That is Dr. Dina is on the phone. Okay. All right, so that's my producer that was typing that. Okay, so back to you, Maria. Thanks for that. I'm kind of a bit distracted with what's going on with the technology and everything else. He was thinking that you were Dr. Dina, but no, he got it right now. So back to that. I tell you something. When I listen to you speak Patois, which is our native tongue in Jamaica, I would mm-hmm. never think that you're Brits as well. But you embrace all 3 cultures so well, so I'm proud to call you.
You know what's
interesting?
If mm-hmm. you listen to somebody from England, you can mm-hmm. always tell where their parents are from. Because
oh, yeah.
when you get mm-hmm. into a conversation, all of a sudden, like even now when I go back, we have a couple in the group, like one of them, he's from Barbados, and mm-hmm. he'll start speaking, he's got his, you know, he's got his Cockney accent going, mm-hmm, and then all mm-hmm. of a sudden he'll switch into his Barbadian accent. Where are you, boy? And I mean, we'll all just start cracking up because the Bajan will come in, and mm-hmm. we've got some that are, their parents are from St. Lucia. We're mm-hmm. in our 50s now, and they were mm-hmm. born and raised in England all their life, and you can mm-hmm. still hear the cultural
That's right.
dialect from where mm-hmm. their parents are from. So it's a beautiful That's thing. All of us have still maintained that over the years, yeah.
That's right. It is. It is. And this is why I do a lot of work in diverse communities, and I tell people who don't have the richness of embracing other cultures, I said, don't beat up on the people. Embrace it and learn
right.
from it. Because a lot of times, with no disrespect, I would hear Americans say, well, these people are here. Why do they have to speak their language? They need to speak just English. And I said, no, you need to get to know them and learn from the richness of what they have to offer. But that's a whole show for another time. So, you know, we are kind of continuing the conversation of reinvention and what does that entail. Last week we had a very rich dialogue around that and what it really means, and we decided that we're having you in the list this morning because you are coming. We are going to be talking about the different aspects of reinvention because we are going to talk about how long you've been doing here and why you chose here and not just here, natural here and all of that. But we're going to talk about image and what's professional and what's not professional and some of the old myths and trends about dreads and all the other stuff. So let us talk about the length of time that you have been playing with hair.
I started doing hair from the 70s, and I would have to say, if I was to say an official time frame, would have been 1976, and the reason I pinpoint that was the first time I got paid. So
yeah,
I've been.
And you know something, Maria? I wanted you to go back because I remember when you were on the TV show, we spoke about it. You were doing hair long before you were being paid. And that's the part I want for you to talk about because a lot of people, they don't understand that when you have a calling and a passion, a lot of times you are doing it and you're not being paid. But it doesn't let you do it any less than you are doing it. You do it with pride and elegance and everything. So I want you to go back to that little girl who was doing people's hair, not as a cosmetologist, not as a stylist. You were just doing it because you felt a passion for it, and it made people feel good. So I want you to go back to that place.
I started out doing my own hair, actually, and that was before even the 70s. The late 60s, where I did two cornrows in my hair. I don't know if people might remember that, just two to the side, and they're still doing it today because I see a lot of the, you know, young girls that are wearing it as a style now. And I started doing that, and then the Africans, they're really good at the cornrow, always have been. Of course, we know that's where it came from. And they started doing cornrows just all over the head. And I love the artistry in terms of, you know, the different parting skills that they exhibited. So I then started doing my cousin's hair. I visited Jamaica and started braiding my cousin's hair because I couldn't do my own hair with all those intricacies. And it kind of started from there. It evolved from there and just doing family and friends. And then one day while in school, I was in college and I was braiding someone's hair in college. And someone came up to me and said, "What do I charge for that?" And I thought, I can make money. So I looked at her and I said, "I'll get right back to you."
That's
so,
right.
So, you know, we all started from braiding each other's hair. And that's where, you know, I would say the late 60s was when I really got into doing that. To this day, it's 2013 and I'm still doing the same thing on a different level.
That's right. And we are speaking about reinvention because where that comes in for you is not that you just are doing the hair, but you travel the world now teaching about the hair. And I'm going to ask you to hold. We have a call. I want to go to this caller and take their questions. And then when we come back, I want you to pick up there.
Sure.
You know, not only are you doing it, but you are teaching it. So let me hear from this caller. Happy New Year, caller. Good morning. Your first three digits are 919. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please? Hello? Hello, caller? Your last four digits are 3914. State your name and where you're calling from, please. I guess they didn't want to talk, so they hung up. Well, let's continue, Maria. Why did you think that not only am I going to continue to do hair and do all these different things in people's hair, but I want to travel to teach about this?
Well, as I mentioned, I started in England doing what I enjoyed doing. I came to America, and a few years later I got married, and actually my husband at the time, he was also from England. But anyway, got married, had children, and was just braiding friends here. And then I would say in my mid-30s, I went through midlife crisis real early in terms of, well, actually what sparked it is that I had a disabled child who I had taken care of for almost 6 years, and she passed away. So when she passed away in 1990, I owned a boutique at the time with another friend of mine, and decided, you know, I didn't want to do that anymore. What am I going to do when I grow up? So I went through 7 years. I went back to corporate, and I went through 7 years of soul searching, and that's when I started to see the Senegalese twists, the flat twists, and all the different braiding techniques. And I figured, you know what? Somebody has to be teaching these techniques, because it was so completely different from what I was used to doing. Cut a long story short, I found out that, you know, where the hair shows were, went to a hair show, got information on classes, went to my first class in New York, Afrogenics, and while I sat there in class, I figured, hold on a minute, I can do this. So while the class was being taught, I had a pen and paper trying to figure out how I can do my own class. And from doing, from coming home from that, I took another class, Talia Wajid, and her hair shows are still going on to this day. I did my first one in 1997, and still, like I said, it's still in force today. But I decided to do my own. I went to cosmetology school 1997 to 1998, got my cosmetologist license, because I said if I'm going to go back into the industry, I'm going to go back on a completely different level. I want to teach. I enjoy what I was seeing, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I would love to be able to do this. And from there, I now teach at the Broner Brothers Show, the premier show in California. I mean, not California,
Florida.
In Orlando. In Orlando. I have done one. There's another young lady, she puts on one in California. I basically teach at all the major hair shows within the United States. I also teach at the major hair shows in London, which is Afro Hair and Beauty. I've done Adornment, which is a natural hair show. And I've done several shows in France as well. So I'm kind of a national educator.
International
educator. And I also teach with, I'm also L'Oreal's educator for the Mazzani division. I'm their natural hair educator.
Beautiful, Ambika. You know, just, I think it was just last night, I was having a conversation with a friend, and he says, oh, why does one need to reinvent their life? And I said, you don't reinvent your life. It depends on what your needs are. So it's not a one cut thing for everybody to say, oh, well, I'm going to reinvent my life. This is what I need to do. Like you were dealt a blow with losing your child, and you sat back and said, well, what am I going to do now when I grow up? And that began your process of reinvention. You not only reinvent Maria, you reinvent the skills and tasks that Maria was involved in, and you focus on reinventing the rest of the world. You have spanned from Europe back to the U.S., and you says, well, here is what I am going to do, and you do that so well. You have also written a book about it, so you figure after I teach, I want to leave you with something that you can go on and play with till the next time you sit in front of me again. And if all of that is not reinvention, well, I don't know what else is.
So, and I love it.
Yes, I know. I know you've done it with such passion and such pizzazz and such class and everything. I have one more caller. Let me check in with the caller.
Sure.
And caller, if I check and if you do not have a question, if you're just listening, you just tell me that and I will mute you. Caller, your last four digits are 8703. State your name and where you're calling from, please, and your question.
Yes, hi. My name is Tempe Thatcher. I'm the founder of the D.C. Love Locks Expo here in Washington, D.C.
Well, hello and welcome to the show.
Yes, I'm just kind of just calling in, listening. I was looking on Facebook for the number and everything, and I kind of came in on the tail end, but I'm very much interested in continuing listening. And if I have a question, hopefully I'll be able to tune back in.
Yes, if you have a question, you just touch the number 1, and I will get you back. Thank you so much. And just see the rest of friends you know and Facebook them and tell them to come on and just be a part of this conversation. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
I tell you, Maria, the power of social media.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I did. I kind of hit it this morning. So hopefully
there are
a few people that are listening in. I would like to add that I also have a line of 11 instructional DVDs, because what I've done now is that I do mostly locks right now. However, what a lot of people don't know is that I also do everything as it relates to braids, locks, twists, and natural hair. So I'm pretty much diverse within the natural hair field, because remember we started out with braids, and that's what I've always done. But you know, you kind of roll with the evolution of where hair is
that's
going.
Right.
You have to go with the trends and what people are asking you for.
And which is where I'm going now, because it's you know I'm sporting baby lock. And the first time I started it back in August, I went to one lady and had it twisted. And then a good friend of mine died, and I'm going to the funeral this Friday. Plus, and tomorrow I'm going out to dinner with a group of friends. So I have this friend who is Caucasian, Dara. And I think it was a little before Christmas. I came to her. This poor woman has never done lock before. But I came to her, and I walked her through it, and she did a phenomenal job. And you know where I was last night again? I was by her twisting my hair again last night. So I said to her jokingly, I say, you're going to be the first Caucasian girl to open your lock shop. And I say, you're going to have everybody coming to you. So she laughed so well. And she is such a perfectionist. And she's making sure everything is so neat, you know? And her other friend came by and asked her, where did you learn to do that? She said, oh, she's just teaching me to do it. So it doesn't matter. So long as you show the interest, you will learn. And it's just amazing to see the great job that she has done on it. And I'm saying that because I'm from Jamaica, and growing up in Jamaica, we had all our myths and prejudices against what we call them dreadlocks. And back in the day, you know, you went there as a young child, and back in the day, you know how we normally look down on lock and the people who wear, we call them dreadlocks back then. No, we're calling them lock, because they're not only worn by dreads, but they are lock. So,
and there's nothing dreadful about our locks.
Exactly, exactly. So now, as you watch the evolution of the lock, take us on that journey, Maria.
Well, I do have to give credit to Sister Merva. She passed last year, and I bring her up because she was a Rastafarian, along with a few other sisters here in Hartford, Pinky, Merva, Marcia, Jillian. They're all Rastafarians, and all of them have locks that are down to the ground and longer. So, you know, people talk about, can your hair grow long? I'm in a, in a community with
Take
sisters
some water.
With locks. Sorry?
Get a sip of water.
All right, yeah, I just did. Thank you, thank you. That have long locks. Well, what inspired me was, especially with Sister Merva, she always wore the most beautiful hairstyles with her locks. I was every time I saw her, my jaws dropped. I was like, because I had just started back on my hair journey in terms of doing here again. So every time I saw her, I was like, you know, you have to show me, you have to show me. And occasionally she would come in and I would, you know, practice doing styles on her here. And
beautiful.
That's what kind of got me going because, as you mentioned, in the islands, especially Jamaica, locks are taboo. People still look, look down on them. And I think maybe today, 2013, I should say 2012, going back to last year, very slowly they're beginning to look at locks differently because sisters are coming in with their beautifully styled locks. They're well, they're groomed. And they're realizing that it's not just Rastafarians who are wearing locks and have carried on the tradition, but mainstream, the world around us are embracing locks. And I do want to add that, no, locks did not start with Rastafarians. It started back in Africa way, 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 many, many years ago. However, Rastafarians have continued the tradition of locks. And now it's mainstream, not just here in America, but around the world. So for me, creating styles, I wanted to show, especially our culture as West Indians, that locks are beautiful because it's not just Jamaica. Did you know that there are other, and they've lifted that now, but there were other Caribbean islands. You could not enter their island if you were wearing locks.
That's right. That's
they
right.
Would
there's
turn
a
you
lot
away.
Of taboo. Yeah, there's so much prejudices and taboo about that. So when I ask you to give us the journey of this evolution, it is indeed an evolution. Let me check in with this caller. I don't want to have people holding on if they have a question. So just bear with us, please. Good morning, caller, and Happy New Year. No, I think I'm on. Yes. Your last four digits are 4343. Please state your name and where you're calling from and your question.
Yes, Dr. Daphne. It's Dr. Deanna.
Good morning, Dr. Deanna. Okay, can you just hold on and I will bring you back on live.
Okay.
All righty. Yes, Maria, this is my second guest, and I had scheduled her to be on at 10:30, and so I'm going to keep you on in the same time. I just want you to just finish answering the one question I ask, and you have time to remain on, don't you?
Yes, I'll stay on. I'll listen in.
Okay. So I want you to finish answer the question about the evolution, about the lock. You're talking about some of the Caribbean islands who would turn you away from that, and that's about the taboo. And you spoke about giving reverence to Sister Merva and the women who stay true to their choices and the image.
Right.
And now we look in corporate. We look on professionals wearing lock. How does that make you feel, and when did that all just evolve?
It's been a slow evolution, you know, but it has been coming, and that's why I love the theme of your show today, which is living, and that's what these, you know, live your life, and that's what these women are doing. They've decided that, you know, it's my time. I really don't care what anybody wants to think or say. I am going to embrace me, and embracing me means going back to my natural hair or going back to my locks, and they've done it with grace, with enthusiasm, with motivation, and they walk with their heads held high, and it's empowering. It's just beautiful, all the different natural sites and the natural meetups and different things that are going on, just empowering women to let them know that it's your time to live, it's your time to do you, it's your time to reinvent yourself, and it's okay to be you. And I will add that a lot of times when people are a little timid to go natural in the workplace, and when I say natural, that means natural or locked, it's because they're worried about what the others are going to say, mainly their white co-workers. And I will say that your only concern is us. We give each other the most problems, because if you was to say to a white person, I'm natural, they'll look at you like, what are you talking about?
That's
They're
right.
looking
That's
at
right.
us because they love all the different variations that we can, styles that we can wear with our hair. They're just enamored. We're the only ones worried about how our hair looks, and they're looking at us like, oh, I wish I could do that with my hair.
I wish I could do that. And with what you just said, Maria, is the perfect segue into my returning guest. I'm Dr. Deanna Murphy. She was on last week, too, and just she has just a phenomenal story, which I know is going to, both of you is going to be a magnificent balance to this conversation this morning. So I want to hold, keep you on. I'm going
sure.
to like, bring Dr. Deanna in with her story and bring it up. And then in the end, I'm going to give you an opportunity to wrap up your conversation. And when people call in with their questions, they can address their questions to Dr. Deanna or to yourself or to me. So I am just so excited this morning. Dr. Deanna Murphy, good morning and Happy New Year to you. I want to take this opportunity to introduce you to Maria Thompson, who is a friend of mine here in Connecticut. I met her a number of years ago, and I just want to introduce you both.
Morning, Deanna.
Dr. Deanna, are you there? Oh, I mute her. No, I need to put her back live. That was my, I tell you. Ooh, Dr. Deanna, I had you all muted. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I want to introduce you to my friend, Maria Thompson, here in Connecticut, and I'm going to keep her on. She's going to be on for the rest of the show. And,
good morning. Good morning, Maria. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too.
No, thank you so much for coming back. You were on last week, but we kind of started in the middle. And we're not going to repeat what we did last week because people can go back and listen to the archive for that. But we are kind of going back to the middle of who you are. You remember you started last week, we talked about... We touched just briefly a portion of your the story about corporate and all of that, and we are continuing the conversation of reinvention this morning and reason to live, reason to live. And you have created and coined this this topic, if you may. You've written books on it. You do webinars, workshops, retreats on that topic. So tell people about the beginning of Dr. Deanna Murphy.
Okay, and thank you so again, much again, Dr. Daphne, for having me back this year. And yes, it's time to live. That has been a, it just jumped in my spirit several months ago. But to before I get there, you asked about my corporate and my past. And years ago, yes, I was in corporate. I was in corporate America. I worked on Citibank, Citicorp Real Estate. I was on Park Avenue in New York City, and relocated to Pennsylvania, to the Poconos, and I continued that path of my corporate endeavor, and I was trying to decorate my guest bedroom, having relocated from a big city to a small resort area. I could not locate the stores and the shops to find this vision that I had in my mind that I wanted for this room. And I began to become very frustrated about it, and I was missing the city. So I was walking across the bank parking lot one day, and I literally heard a voice say to me, "Why don't you design your own?" And it was so clear that I stopped. I remember stopping and turning to see who was there. And obviously there was no one there, and I realized that I was being, the Lord was speaking to me, and I remember saying to him very sarcastically, "Well, how am I supposed to do that?" Because I had not ever been introduced to the world of design. I had been introduced to decorating. I've always liked to do things in the home, but I never thought of design. But what happened after that, the pressure to pull away from corporate. I just lost all of my desire to perform in my corporate endeavor because I was working in an environment where I was the only woman and being an African American woman among all Caucasian men. and I was on the road a lot, so I had to really perform. I had to really just stand up and show my superiors that I was just as good as they are, and I could perform. And many months I outperformed them, and they embraced that. But with all of that, I had to relinquish all of that. I had to let it go and enroll into college again to reinvent myself. And I enrolled in, thinking in my little mind at that time that I would be enrolling into a class for decorating, because I knew, coming from an African-American background, we didn't know about architecture. We didn't hear about design. All we knew is, okay, you make your house pretty and it's decorating. But little did I know, when I enrolled, they said, no, ma'am, we do not have a course in decorating, but we have a course in architecture, interior design. And I said to myself, well, what is that? And
that's for them other folks.
Yes. And
wow.
I pushed, and I was just the pressure to do it, and the doors opened for me. The first semester I enrolled, I obviously had quit my job, and my husband was not too pleased with that, because we had just recently bought a new home. But the first semester I performed and performed, and I was straight A's, and I didn't
Beautiful.
Have any money to pay for to go forward. I had no money to go forward. And I said, well, now, Lord, what am I supposed to do? You know, I have no job. Now I can't go forward. And he told me, he gave me instructions. He says, you call that university, you tell them, and this is what I heard. I have performed. Now, what can you do to help me? That was the what I got. And so I remember calling, and I remember being transferred from one department to another, and I was explaining my story. And finally I got a department, and it was a department for returning women to school, to college.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And the long and
education.
Short. Yes, and I mean, I had no clue. The long and short of that story is they gave me a scholarship that paid for my tuition and 50% for all of my books. And I graduated with honors.
Wow.
So that's how God introduced me to the world of design, reinventing my life from corporate America, coming out of college with a business degree and going into design, something totally different than I have ever imagined. But what I've learned about that story with me is that was who I was anyway.
That's right. That's right. And you know something? You came back on this show this morning for a reason. There's someone out there, as a matter of fact, a number of people out there, needed to hear this story on the second day of January 2013 because they are standing at the crossroad and saying they don't know what to do. Their hands are on top of their heads because they are crying out. They don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm so happy they are standing at the crossroad now, because they have been still, and now it's time for them to listen and obey. You don't always know where you're supposed to go. You just need to make that first step. So whatever instruction you are getting to make that first step, step out boldly with certainty that you know where you are going. And when you get to that point where the Lord has instructed you to turn up, once you get to that next point, you are going to get the other portion of the puzzle. Just like it worked out for Dr. Deanna Murphy, from department to department to department until she hit her pot of gold, you too will be hitting your pot of gold. And we want you to call us on this radio show down the road, later on down the road, and give us your testimony, because we know this word is for someone this morning. So I just wanted to be obedient. The Spirit placed that in my spirit, and I wanted to say that, because it's all about us being obedient in this on this life journey that we are called for. So thank you so much, Dr. Deanna, for so eloquently laying out that story for the people that needed it. And as they say, the rest is history. And not only has it been history, but it has been incorporated into not only designing homes, but designing lives, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. God never ceased to amaze me. 13 years, I designed homes. God opened doors. I was on national and international television with Home and Garden, HGTV, Fine Living, Oprah Magazine, all of the doors he opened for me, because he said to me, your work will be seen all over the world, and it has. He said that to me. I was volunteering to design an area in the church that I was attending, and I did it as a gift. And I remember one night I was hanging some draperies or something. I can't remember what I was doing. But anyway, I heard the voice of the Lord say to me, he says, your gift will be seen all over the world. Your work will be seen all over the world. And I, at that point, I didn't know him. That, and within a week after that, I was approached to be on to come in to design this room on HGTV.
Wow.
Someone approached me. But how that evolved after 13 years being in the interior home design arena, I was in people's homes, and of course you have an affinity for the women. They share their stories and their woes, and I can see a correlation between how they are living and how their home is dysfunctional. And so I began to consult with them and talk to them. Just be friendly, and as you said, when the Lord placed something on your heart, you share with them. And lo and behold, I had this epiphany. I said, you know something, I'm designing lives the same way I'm designing homes. I can be a mentor, a consultant, and a life coach to these women using the same psychology through the psychology of interior design, I should say, because then the Lord opened my eyes and showed me, just like you have a physical building, a shelter with different rooms divided, our sacred home, which is our body, is no different. We are divided into different segments, rooms, thought room, vision room, hearing room, speaking room, heart room. And he says, but they're all interconnected. So like I said last week, what comes first is the chicken or the egg. It doesn't matter whether your words or your thoughts come first, because if they're all interconnected. And so he showed me that. And so then I put together this program called It's Time to Live, because he gave me LIVE as an acronym. And that acronym is Learn Everything About Yourself. And then the other L is Let Go of Your Past. And then the I is Inventory Your Gifts and Talents. And the other I is Investigate What You Need to Do. And the V is Value Yourself, Visualize and Venture Out in Faith. And the E is Enter Into God's Rest. And the last E is Enjoy More Life, which he had given me before. The women should rise higher, suffer less, and enjoy more life. So I put this program together. And actually, this week, I'm in the fourth week teaching this program to about several women who have registered for the program, and teaching, walking them through the steps for 8 weeks on how to live, how to literally stop existing in this world, stop living, sacrificing their happiness for someone else's pleasure, you know, stop being in the shadows and in behind the scenes, and be the woman who God designed them to be. And we walk through the rooms of their sacred home, and we clean out all of the clutter. We tear down all the wallpaper, all the drapes, patch up the holes that are in the walls of their lives, and we bring them out and to this new person, and let them go to and let them live the life that God have them to live. So I'm really excited about the program. I'm excited about how God has shown me how to reinvent myself, because I tell you something, Dr. Daphne, two nights ago I couldn't sleep because he dropped something else in me.
Thank you, Jesus. Don't you love when that happened?
I'm so glad I'm not the only one.
I tell people that. I have my journals and my scratch notes and everything in my beds, because sometimes in the middle of the night you get certain things and you just want to jot it down right there. If you are just joining me, I'm now in conversation with Dr. Deanna Murphy and also Mrs. Maria Thompson. They are my two honored guests today. Maria is still on the line. And you can call in at any time and pose your questions for either of my guests, Mrs. Thompson, Maria Thompson, owner of Twist and Curls in Hartford, Connecticut, and Dr. Deanna Murphy from Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. I think she is on. And this one we are talking about time to live and reinventing our lives. And what does that really mean? What does it look like? The number to call is 646-915-8166. I have one more caller on the line. I'm going to check in with the caller. And callers, if you do not have a question when I open your line, just tell me you are listening and I will mute you back, because sometimes people forget to touch the one to get in my queue. So I will just check in with this caller. So bear with me, please, Dr. Deanna.
Yes.
Good morning, caller, and Happy New Year. Your last four digits are 2542. Please state your name, where you're calling from, and your question, please. Okay, they hung up, so I guess they were only listening. So I guess I need to take my cue and just leave them and hope that they will touch the one. But it's all good. It's all good. They can call back in. A lot of people are scared to hear their voices on the air live. I want to ask, Maria, do you have any questions for Dr. Deanna? And any questions from the chat room, anybody? Do you have a question, Maria?
I don't have a question, but I will say that I needed this conversation this morning, because we all go through life and we grow. And Dr. Deanna and I have pretty much gone through the same thing in terms of changes and evolved into something maybe completely different from where we started, and are touching people's lives in different ways. Even when you say it's a time to live, I kind of feel like I'm going through a second metamorphosis right about now. My son is in college, so now I feel like it's my time to live my life the way I want. So I am decluttering and rearranging and changing my furniture. So listen to her is just so empowering right about now. So,
beautiful.
Yes,
beautiful.
I'm infused.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful. And, you know, this is just an affirmation that God does not make any mistakes. Because I remember, Dr. Deanna, that last week in the midst of wrapping up was when the Spirit said to me, you need to have her back next week. And you were just as obedient in saying, yes, let me grab my book. Yes, I will be there. And this is what it's all about when we are servants. And it's not about us, you know, lifting ourselves up, but it's us lifting up what he has been continually doing in us and to help us to touch the lives of others. So, again, the number to call is 646-915-8166. So let's continue about going into all these different rooms of our lives and decluttering our lives and all of that. Dr. Deanna?
Yes, absolutely. You know, naturally, the first room I go into when I'm working with a client is that thought room, because, you know, you are what you think, you know. And but what I have learned, Dr. Daphne, is that our thoughts are based on our influences from our childhood to present. It's our upbringing, the environment that we have lived in, the environment that we live in now. And the people who speak into our lives, all of these are influences all around us, and
that's
we develop and these thought processes based on those variables. And so, therefore, if you want to continue your life in that vein, then you do nothing. But if you want to make a change, then you're going to have to change. You know,
that's right. I don't know when you started listening to the show, but when Maria and I got on, we were talking about the same thing. We were talking about the psychology of the different experiences and communities that we become a part of. And I don't know whether or not you were listening, but it's the same thing you are saying now. So, you know, so this conversation was definitely destined for today.
Yes,
definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
And society on a whole, the problems that we all have is what we think. We are who we think we are. And, right. And you know, before I was about to share with you, God had dropped something else in my spirit the other night. I was in the shower, and I was thinking about this new venture. It was not really a new venture. It was just my expansion on my company. Mm-hmm. And then I was saying to the Lord, I said, well, gee, but I don't even really know what to do with this. I mean, this is like out of my league. And then all of a sudden he gave me this vision, and everything came so plain to me. But what it taught me was that my thinking was too small. Just looking here instead of looking out there and thinking that I was in the shower. I wanted to scream because it was just so clear where he showed me what to do with this thing. And I said, oh, my God, I see this now. I see this thing. Mm-hmm. And I realized that my thinking had limited me, had been holding me back, because I had been pulling on him for days and weeks and wondering what to do with this thing. What should I do with this thing? You see, our thought room, as I say, is decorated with our beliefs and behaviors that are direct result of our thinking cycle that we have engaged in. All the time I was thinking that, well, this is for somebody else. This is not for me.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know if you read, I don't remember, I think it was yesterday when I put it on Facebook and saying that our only limitation in 2013 is going to be the limitation that we don't connect with our why. Because once we turn up and claim our why, the rest is just going to be so easy. We are struggling. And people are burnt out and stressed out because they are chasing somebody else's why instead of their own. You know, I'm listening to you talking, and it's the same thing with the retreat project that the Lord gave me. And I'm sitting here listening to you, and then the Spirit, it came to my spirit and said, oh, Dr. Deanna is going to be the one to decorate the retreat center once you get it all together. Because she's coming in with the spiritual touch of everything that needs to be in all of those rooms. And I'm listening to you talk about what the Lord has done for you and put it in your spirit. And it's the same thing I keep saying, Lord, but I don't think you had really gave me the vision about the retreat center because I don't have the land. Where am I going to get the money to do the land? And then the Lord said, that's none of your business. I give it to you. I'm going to bring all those things into place. You're going to get that land exactly where I said it's going to be. So it's just an affirmation for me to hear what you're saying this morning.
I have to laugh at that because the same Lord that you know, that I know, have been dealing with me about the same thing.
Isn't that something, Lord?
Years ago, I'm having a journal years ago, and you know, I'm just advocate of journaling. I teach this to my ladies. I said, you have to write everything down.
That's right.
And I remember sitting back in a room in the Poconos when I live up there, and I wrote out this resort center where the body of Christ will not have to go to the world to pay.
Oh, my God.
To have meetings, to have resorts, to have assemblies,
retreat,
that they can come and keep it within the body. And that has been on my heart. And just like you, I would say, where am I going to find this land? Who is going to finance this? And, you know, this is the problem we have with our thinking. We think it's always about us. It has nothing to do with us because each and every one of us are in this world with a purpose. As I said, I believe I shared last week, it's like God has this big puzzle. This is his world. And each piece of that puzzle is each and every one of us who have a place that we have to be put in this world in order to make that puzzle complete. So each one of us have a purpose place. And I think a lot of people get so confused because they think, oh, what is my purpose? What am I here for? And they get all antsy and have all types of anxieties. But it's right under their nose.
Right under your nose. You don't have to look too far. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Excuse me. I was saying, it's under your nose, but not only that, it was always within you. So you don't have to find your purpose. It's not out there anyplace.
It's not lost.
It's not lost. You have to uncover that thing. Because
that's right, and connect.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I knew you before the found when in your mother's womb. So he put everything in there.
Mm-hmm. And he
so
knows
you're already
the end
complete.
From the
yes.
beginning. You are complete. You just have to step up and claim your why, because your why was there even before you breathed the first breath. Your
yes.
That egg was fertilized because your why was there, and God said, well, I have to create Daphne. This is Daphne's why. You know, and this is why we need to just focus. And don't be so busy that you miss the true calling. Don't be too busy. Yes, there are things we do leading us up to the uncovering and the connecting of our whys. But I tell people all the time, I say, my competition is my past performance. Because I say,
mm-hmm.
because I operate from my authentic core, I am uniquely who I am. I am created for my why. There's nobody else out there like me. Nobody else. And
absolutely.
I'm not trying to be like anybody else. I'm just trying to be the best me and to do my best to the why that he has created me for. And you know that there was so much buzz about the world coming to an end. And you know what excites me? The old world came to an end, because this is a new world of new beginnings. And I was
absolutely.
So excited when I saw Dr. Miles Monroe put that out as this Bahama Faith new mission that they're doing. I am so much for it till I use it as my backdrop on my Facebook page, because we are all in sync, all of God's people around the world. It doesn't matter what label we're serving him under. We are part of one big kingdom, and we are all saying the same thing. So that old world of all the hatred and prejudice, yeah, that came to an end. And all of us is stepping up to the true calling of change and reinvention and empowerment and transformation. Because
yes.
we are going to have it all. So long as we turn up and say, well, here I am. I'm here to claim. And you know the beauty about this, Dr. Deanna and Maria? God is not going to wobble his finger and point and say, what took you so long? He's just going to embrace us and take us on the journey as if today is the first day about it. Because it is indeed the first day that that we have to go out there and do all that he has called us to do.
Yes.
If
yes.
you're
and
just
I do believe.
Joining, the number you can call in 646-915-8166. I'm sorry. Continue, Dr. Deanna.
No, I was just going to piggyback on what you said. I said one
mm-hmm.
of the mistakes I think we all make is we sit back and wait for him and expect him then to tell us, well, do this next. And I've learned even here of late, as soon as I make an attempt to step out and do something, then the instruction comes. And so I said, what have I been sitting on all of these years that I could have accomplished had I just taken
right.
the first step and stepped
mm-hmm.
out there? And that's
mm-hmm.
what he's waiting for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned about calling a few moments ago, and it reminded me of a quote that I heard that Steve Harvey said. He says, your career is what you are paid for, but your calling is what you are made for.
Oh,
and
Jesus,
a lot,
that is
isn't
that
good?
Is it. That is so true. Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of people a teaching that, you know, you follow your passion, you follow your passion, that's what your calling and purpose is. But one thing I learned from Steve Harvey, and I listened to this man intently because, you know, God has given him a total 180-degree transformation,
mm-hmm.
pulling his life on what he has done for him. He said his
mm-hmm.
passion all of his life was basketball. He played
mm-hmm.
basketball. He wanted to be a basketball player. But that was not his calling. His calling
mm-hmm.
is to be a comedian and an actor. You see,
mm-hmm.
so your passion sometimes can play tricks on you. You have to
mm-hmm.
be so careful. To you know, your passion could be a fleshy thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is something
mm-hmm.
that I want to do. I,
mm-hmm.
I. And it's not about
mm-hmm.
I. It's
mm-hmm.
about him. So we
mm-hmm.
have to really be
mm-hmm.
in tune to listen to what the Spirit is telling us
mm-hmm.
and to step
mm-hmm.
out. Even when we are afraid, because I have
mm-hmm.
to admit, yes, there are things that I'm stepping out in, and it's just being afraid of new territories,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
a new arena. But
mm-hmm.
getting back to that 12-12-12, when you said
mm-hmm.
that they predicted the world was coming to the end, it's
mm-hmm.
funny, I hadn't heard any of that, because my husband will tell you, I don't even watch the news, and I probably
mm-hmm.
should. But this
mm-hmm.
is what I got. We are stepping into a new level of intensity.
That's
it's
right.
It's not school like it used to be. We're going to have to step mm-hmm. out of pace.
That's right.
This, you know, God is doing something. He needs our hands, our feet, our eyes, our hearts, our mouth, and everything to get his work done. So there's a new intensity being stepped up. So whatever that thing is that God has in your heart to do, what you want to do, take the first step. Pick up that phone and make the first call. Write that first line sentence, whatever it is, and let him meet you where you are, and you will see that he'll catapult you to the purpose and calling that he has on your life.
That's right. You know, Dr. Deanna, I went back to home to Jamaica on vacation, what I thought was a vacation this summer. And it was more of a spiritual retreat. And just yesterday when I was speaking to one of my old schoolmates, and what the Lord has instructed me to do when I went back to my old school was to get a breakfast feeding program started there. And I committed with tears in my eyes to the principal when the Lord revealed it to me. That was why he sent me to the school to visit. And I with tears in my eyes, I committed to the principal that I was going to do that. And I came back and I'm preparing to do it, and I'm doing every little thing that I know to do, form the nonprofit and all of that, and the Lord is showing me different pieces that still need to take place there. Even the name of the nonprofit is different from what I thought, because I was thinking one name and the Spirit said, no, it's the other name. And just yesterday, I was speaking with one of my old schoolmates, Dr. Deanna, and I said to her, Inez, you know what just came to my spirit? For so many years, I was dreaming about this and that and the other and the other and the other. All those things I was dreaming about for all these years when I was out of touch with those people is what the Lord is putting the puzzle into pieces now.
You know?
The Lord is putting, and it gave me the chills because I said, Inez, do you remember when we used to do the gardening at school and I described to her where the land is under the breadfruit tree? She said, yes. I said, that's why the Lord is showing me that I need to have these parents do the farm, because the Lord want me, Dr. Deanna, to empower the people there to grow the organic food that they supply the canteen with, that the kids will eat healthy foods. And then I'm sharing this with my schoolmate, and she said, I can't believe you just said that, because one year when we went down for the reunion, we were talking to the people about growing foods and supplying hotels. I said, but my heavens, look at this. So nothing is new. Once we turn up for that which God has called us to, he will just put the puzzle into place. We won't have to put the pressure. We just rest it over it and it slap right in, because that's where it belongs. And,
he just
bring all his people together to encourage each other with, you know, with Maria doing what she's doing up there, and to share her story about losing her child and where it has catapulted her in, traveling from Europe, you know, all over the place, just teaching women how to adorn themselves, you know, to move that prejudice and all the terrible things and labeling about this image, that you can embrace that image and feel good about yourself. And as she rightfully say, they are worrying about what Caucasian people are going to say, and Caucasian people want to have the same thing. And you look in and say, well, I'm going in there to give you a nice surrounding in your house, but I can do better for you by helping you to get your life in order, that not only is your space, your physical space is going to be evolving, but you as a person is going to be evolving. And that's when we come into total reinvention and total balance of who we are. People look and balance and they think, oh, I don't have a spouse. And I think you and I were talking the other day about people say, I want somebody that make me complete. Oh, no, you got to make you complete.
Yes.
You get God inside of you, and he's going to make you complete.
Yes, yes. Yes, a spouse only compliments you.
Compliments you, yes.
Yeah, you know,
yes.
Completeness comes from who you know and who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another, you know, thing that I have been teaching, remembering who you are. Just get back
mm-hmm.
to the core of who you are, because when you clean out all that debris and clutter out that thought room and get those unbearable views out of your vision room, because some of the things we are watching and hearing are blinding us, you know, to the truth
mm-hmm.
of who we really are. And
mm-hmm.
then we realize that we don't need anyone to complete us. We just need
mm-hmm.
companionship.
That's
the purpose
mm-hmm.
of companionship, and to complement us. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you know,
and one of the other... Mm-hmm.
No, I was just going to piggyback on what you said, because I've been single for years. I've been divorced since 1985. Haven't dated, haven't been in a relationship and everything. And people look at me and say, oh, but how do you do it? How can you live alone? I say, I love me some Daphne. I say, I enjoy Daphne's company. And when somebody comes, it's just going to be added gravy, because I enjoy being around me so much until whoever it is that God sends and he's brave enough to turn up. He's just going to enjoy me, and he's going to learn to enjoy himself as well,
uh-huh.
whether I'm there or not. And that's what it is all about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And we have to also understand that if we focus on why we're here, the why, as you always say,
mm-hmm.
And the why will cover the who's. Because
exactly.
when you have know
exactly.
that why, the who's are going to come.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
They're going to come.
That's right. And, you know, isn't it amazing when Daddy see that we are ready, he send the right person. Because not because you're single or you're not in a relationship, you think you're ready. Because you're not ready. A lot of times you got stuff you got to deal with too. You got to move some of the junk and the gunk out of the way, or the clutter, or whatever it is. And
mm-hmm.
then you're going to make room for the right person to turn up. So when we consider reinvention and transformation, it's all aspect of our life. It's our life in totality. It's not just, you know, our work, our career, our business. It's the whole thing. It's the whole thing. It's like if you have the drain that is clogged, you cannot do one portion. You got to make sure you have easy flow, so you got to plunge it right through. I want to encourage people to call in. We have 48 minutes remaining. I have both my guests on. I have Dr. Deanna Murphy, and we have Miss Maria Thompson. So call in 646-915-8166. You have any questions about time to live or reinventing your life in any way, this is the time to call in, 646-915-8166. Call and ask a question, please. Maria? Maria?
Yes, my dear, I'm right here.
Yeah, do you have anything you want to add, any questions for Dr. Murphy?
No, I'm just really enjoying, you know, everything that she's saying. I think it's what we all need to hear. I don't, even if we're there, we need to hear it again. Because,
exactly.
you know, with everything that she has said, if I relate it to here, women today are, as we had discussed earlier, are afraid to go through that transition.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if you embrace you and just, you know, carve out that fear and just
mm-hmm.
start living your life and thinking, well, this is what I want, more about embracing yourself, then
mm-hmm.
it's something that you can do. But you have got to, like she said, you know, weed out that clutter out of your life
right.
and look at what's stopping you from going natural. Because doing seminars throughout the U.S. and abroad, it's
mm-hmm.
a common thing I hear. I'm afraid to go natural. Well, there isn't anything,
yeah.
you know, there really isn't anything to fear but yourself. We are our own
fear
obstacles,
that.
Not
that's
just
right.
in the hair industry, but in a lot of things that we do in our
that's
life.
Right.
Even
right.
you were mentioning bringing
that's
a partner
right.
into your life, whether
mm-hmm.
male or female.
Mm-hmm.
You can't
mm-hmm.
bring a partner into your life if you... if you're not right. And to piggyback with what Dr. Deanne mentioned about Steve Harvey, I also listen to a lot of things he says, because he does have a lot of good words of wisdom. And one of the things he mentioned in his show, his mother said to him, how are you going to bring in a girlfriend when you still have a car parked in the garage? How are you going to bring a new car into the garage? Where are you going to put it? So we have to declutter ourselves to whatever it is. This is new. I love when the new year starts, because it makes you feel like, okay, it's a new year. I've got a fresh start. How do I start the year off right? Start the year off by decluttering. So whatever it is your goal is, whether it be big or small, and nothing is too small. It's your goal, so embrace it. But as long as we weed out the negatives, and sometimes weeding out negatives even means dropping the people that we're around, and those people might even include people that are very close to us.
That's
so if it
right.
means even doing that, that's what you have to do. Weed out the negatives and embrace yourself with the positives, you know?
That's right.
And that's what it's
all
about.
Maria, thank you so much for that input, because I'm going to close up with Dr. Murphy at 11:30. I'm going to give her an opportunity to summarize. And then I'm going to bring you back on to summarize your conversation. But I want to encourage folks to call in 646-915-8166. So back to you, Dr. Murphy. Is there something you want to mention that I did not ask you yet?
Well, I was just listening to Maria, and she's right. She was talking about declutter, and that, the question dropped in my mind. I said, you know, I know people who are listening hear this all the time. You have to declutter. You have to get away from the negative. And if I was that person, I would say, well, how do I do this? And one of the things that I teach my clients and my students is the how-to, because telling someone to go and drink the water and then leading them to drink it is two different things.
That's right.
And I take them through an exercise, and sometimes it's very painful for them, but they have to go all the way back as far as they can remember. That's where their healing begins. I take them back as far as they can remember, even all of the pain and the uncomfortable emotions that they may experience, because I find that that's what the clutter is. That's what's holding them back. If you don't remove that and revisit it and understand why it happened, and then there are places and times when you may have to learn to forgive, you may have to learn to it may open your eyes to your why. So it's important to go back to the very beginning. And I walk them through this exercise, and then the Lord opens my eyes and show me sometimes some things about them that is causing them to react the way they are today, or not being able to move forward in their lives based on what has happened to their past. And generally, these women, they are freed. You know, we revisit that, and the pain comes back. And sometimes they have to go to, if the person is deceased, that may have abused them or hurt them or caused them to be the way they are today, I said, we just write them a letter, you know, even if the person's alive, just write them a letter. I mean, just simple things like that. These exercises, to see that they release that thing. And then once you clean out, you know, the word tells us, you know, when the enemy's is in your house and you clean them out, if you don't refill it, he'll come right back. I'm paraphrasing that scripture. And so I tell them, now we have to put something back in there. So I walk them through the next exercise of who you are, and I give them power scriptures. I give them power affirmations to identify with. I says, you have to determine which one resonates in your spirit, because I may give you a list of 25, but maybe only three of them resonate with you. So those are the ones that you will focus on, and this is how you redress and refurnish and redecorate your thought room. And then we have to worry about the vision. What are we watching? Who is speaking to your life? What are you seeing? Where are you traveling? And the whole process just actually just releases these women mm-hmm. of all of the burdens and barriers and mm-hmm. and the boundaries that have been holding them back. And
that's
they
right.
see that they are worthy vessels. They are here
that's
for
right.
a purpose. They
that's
don't
right.
have to rely on another person or thing for their happiness
that's
and their
right.
joy.
Right.
You know, the joy
that's
comes
right.
from within them. And I get testimonies all the time, and
right.
it just amazes me that those simple things that you can do to just transform your life.
Mhm, mhm. I want to welcome guest 159 to the show, and we have a caller on, and I'm going to check with the caller to see if they have a question. If you do not have a question, when I open your line, just tell me you're listening, please. Good morning, caller. Your last four digits are 3419. Would you state your name? Happy New Year. State your name, where you're calling from, and your question, please.
Hi, Happy New Year. I'm just listening. I'm here to support Maria Thompson
okay,
and the
thank
show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so very much. We just love to have the men around.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so very much.
Is that a Raj?
Oh, I just mute him. So
oh,
when
I was just wondering
back,
if that was a Raj. Okay.
All right. So
thanks for calling in.
Yes, wonderful. We, you know, I just love social media. So, and guest 1590, if you have a question, please call in, and we welcome you to the show. Yes, Dr. Deanna, I know that women are afraid for a number of different reasons, and I listened to you speak about your program, and I have similar programs that I do too, and especially a retreat that I do, and which is only for women. I get calls, or sometimes if I am blessed to meet their spouses, I get questions about, I don't know, why don't you do this for men? Oh, we got stuff we need to work on too. It's not just women. Do you get that same thing in your line of work, Dr. Deanna, that the men are thinking, oh, we need help too?
Yes, I do, absolutely. But the men don't step up to the plate and do anything. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they talk the talk, but they have to walk the walk.
Mm-hmm.
I also have been called to work with couples. I have
mm-hmm.
not really embraced that 100% yet because I don't think it's the right time. You know, you can know that you're called to do something, but you can step out ahead of God and you
mm-hmm.
can ruin it.
Mm-hmm.
But some situations with my clients, female clients, will at some point until that their husbands get involved, and sometimes we do it as a group or either, you know, from a distance. By that mean I would send her husband something to do or say or, you know, something like
mm-hmm.
that. Because their husbands, men are sometimes a little, they're so brazen. They don't want to share their feelings and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like it's too girly to do that. But
mm-hmm.
in all, if they don't open themselves up to be helped, then they're not going to move forward.
That's right. They have to move the ego out of the way. You know?
I'd like to add to that, Dr. Daphne.
Yes, go ahead.
On two levels, I think when it as it relates to the brothers and empowering women, men don't realize the power that they have in speaking to women and young girls. And you know, you've got so many women, aunts, sisters, cousins in your lives. When you see them embarking on a road, brothers, speak up. Even if, like Dr. Deanna said, you might not want to speak out in public, speak to them in private, because women need to hear from the brothers that some of the things that they're doing, some of the roads they're embarking on, they really don't need to be on that road. You know, just how they carry themselves, how they address themselves. I think brothers can be really instrumental with that.
And as it relates to the hair industry, we have a sister in New York, Jessica. She has a some seminars that she puts on brothers who love sisters with natural hair. And it was powerful to sit down and listen to men talk about how beautiful sisters are with their natural hair. Sisters need to hear that more often because, as we said before, you know, when you hear it from another sister, oh, I love your natural hair, and then they go home and their husbands or their brothers or uncles look at them and say, oh, when are you going to comb your hair? It can be very discouraging. So, you know, the brothers play a really instrumental part. Even if you're out and you see a sister with, you know, that looks good, not just with natural hair, but she just looks good, compliment her. And don't compliment her in a suggestive way. Compliment her in a positive way. And don't feel, you know, she's going to take it the wrong way. If it's said within the right context and said the right way, a respectable sister is going to receive it the right way. So brothers can play a part, like you said, in speaking up quietly if they don't want to do it publicly, you know? That's a good thing.
Because indirectly, when the brothers step up to the plate, they are becoming mentors. Because especially when the young girls hear from these brothers, they understand the importance of not devaluing themselves.
There you
because they are having an authentic dialogue with a male gender who tell you, I'm not having a conversation with you because I want to go to bed with you. I am having a conversation with you to help you evolve into the virtuous woman that God has created you to be. And we need a lot of more of those conversations in 2013, because a lot of these brothers, you're going to be speaking into the lives of sisters that aren't related to you. But remember, it takes the village to raise a child. Now it takes the community to help women evolve to the plateau that God has called them to be evolved to. So thank you. That was an on-time word, Maria. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, Dr. Deanna. Back to you. We are at 11:25. I'm not sure how much time you have allotted. So, I don't know. Do you want to start summarizing now, or you have some more pointers you want to give out?
Yes, I can summarize now. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, let us start summarize. What are the most important, because everything you have said is so of utter importance, but what are some of the high points you want to leave the listeners with? Please do that and give them your contact information, how to reach you at the end of the summary. And for those who have questions, please call in, not because we are summarizing. We will still take your calls. So please call in. 646-915-8166. So, go ahead, Dr. Deanna.
Well, I would just summarize by saying that if the listeners would just embrace three R's, and the first R is to take responsibility. I would say that if you want to actually renovate your life so you can reinvent your life and break free from limitations, you have to begin taking responsibility for your life. And this responsibility is not a one-time thing. It's a ever-ending process. It's a journey, one day at a time. Take responsibility for every day of your life. Step out and do what's in your heart. You have to be responsible for where you are now, where you want to go, and how you plan to get there. The second R would be you have to have the right relationship. And I mean by being tight with your Creator. Because apart from Him, He tells us that we cannot do anything on our own. We may think we are doing something based on ourselves, but you cannot wake yourself up in the morning. You cannot put breath in your body every morning. You can't put your interior organs together to function in the way that they do. So there is someone who created you. You need to know who He is, and you need to have the right relationship with Him and be tight with Him, because you can't know about Him through your mother, through your father, through religion. You have to seek a relationship with him, a personal one-on-one. And your life would totally change. And the third R I would leave is you have to have the right perspective, because if you see the world, the way you see yourself is the way you view the world. And that is determined by your own personal agenda. If you're seeing yourself in a dark cave and you can't get out, well, then that's where you are. But you have to realize beyond that cave is a whole world waiting for your gift, your talent, your love, and humanity needs what you have. It was put in you before the foundations of the world. So those are the three things I would summarize and leave with your listeners. And if anyone would like to get connect with me, they can go to my website at DeannaMurphyGlobal.com. My name is spelled D-E-A-N-A. It's really Deanna, DeannaMurphyGlobal.com. And you can fill out a contact form there, and I would personally respond to that. You can email me directly at wecare@DeannaMurphyGlobal.com. And let me spell Murphy, because sometimes people, when I talk on the phone, they think I'm saying Mercy, M-E-R-C-Y, and it's M-U-R-P-H-Y. I don't know why it comes over the phone like that. But
yeah, Murphy.
You have to do that. And, of course, social media, Facebook, Twitter. Facebook, I'm at Deanna Murphy. Twitter is Exec, E-X-C-C, Coach 2, number 2, Women. That's my handle there. So if you just have all this fail, Google my name, and you'll find where I am.
Oh, well, thank you. And if you can still stick around a little in case anybody have a question for you, I would appreciate that. And with that being said, someone just came in with a New York code. Let me check to see if they have a question. So please hold on. Happy New Year. Good morning, caller. Your last four digits are 9820. Do you have a question for either of my guests? State your name and where you're calling from. Every time I do that, they hang up. All right. Well, I have a question from the chat room from Maria. Maria, do you advise males to get facial to keep their clean, to keep clear faces? That's coming from the chat room, Maria. Do you encourage men to get facials?
I encourage everyone to get facials. Facials is not just a female thing, and looking after yourself and feeling good about yourself is not limited to any gender. So most definitely, if anything that's going to make you feel good, make you feel positive, help you to move forward, then I would say most definitely.
That's right. It's like manicure and pedicure. I love when I go to get those things and I see the men walk in with pride and take care of themselves, because, women are tired of rough and coarse hands. So they want to have some soft and tender touch. So you're so right. Whatever makes you feel good as a male about yourself, by all means, go and say that. Dr. Deanna, I don't know if you want to chime in on this.
Well, absolutely, yes. I do believe in facials. I wish she was here. I need one right now. I am going, however, I had allotted the 1 hour, so I will chime off right now if you don't have anything else for me.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much, and I look forward to speaking with you very soon. And I just pray for your continued success, and I look forward to what God has in store for both of us.
Thank you so much, and thank you, Maria. It was nice meeting you over the phone.
You too.
All right.
And, you too.
Happy New Year to you both. Have a good year. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was Dr. Deanna Murphy. Check her out on Twitter. Check her on Facebook, and she gave her website out. A phenomenal woman doing some great job here in the Northeast. And isn't it amazing when we are obedient to that which we are called for, how doors just open up for us? What the Bible says, that You know, once we walk in our calling and purpose, it will make room for us before kings and queens to go into palaces. And just that little talk, you know, in the back of her head that says, why don't you design it yourself? Made room for her to be on the home and garden network, on Oprah magazine and all those things. What a testimony. What a testimony. Thank you, Maria, for being patient and for just chiming in and adding such value to the conversation. We have 26 minutes remaining. I want to remind people, feel welcome to call in 646-915-8166. And to remind you, we are on twice a week. We are on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and we are on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. And I want to encourage you to follow me on Twitter at Dynamic Daphne. Like my Facebook, facebook.com/DynamicDaphne. Visit my website, Daphne Clark Hudson Empowers.com. You can get a free ebook there. You get DVDs just for signing up and becoming part of my mailing list. We have some free gifts for you. And we want you to stay closely connected to us, because in a few weeks we have some new programs that we are going to be rolling out. I'm very excited about that. I also have 4 books that's coming out, and they're going to be on Amazon. But if you visit DaphneClarkHudsonEmpowers.com, you can pre-order your books there prior to the launch. And what is going to happen, those who order the books from my website, you'll get them personally autographed by me and send out, versus those that you order from Amazon. They will not be autographed. So that's just your little perk for pre-ordering before the launch of the book. So, again, visit me at DaphneClarkHudsonEmpowers.com. And I just want to go back to Maria Thompson and continue her conversation. And we began talking about the evolution of the lock. And we were talking about you having DVDs that I guess women can purchase and have to see the different styles and trends. But I want to continue the conversation about professionalism and the lock.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about that, how that is making its way into corporate America. And I don't know if you recall when the turnaround began to happen.
I would say it's been going on since the 90s in terms of mm-hmm. women that are styling their locks and got, well, long before the 90s, I should mm-hmm. say, because obviously mm-hmm. sisters have been wearing their hair locked, styling it and going to work. Because mm-hmm. when I came to this country in 1981, the same mm-hmm. sisters I mentioned in the outset, they all had locks and were wearing and sporting their styles to work. Mm-hmm. I think what's happened over the years, we have social media. So mm-hmm. thank God to social media, all the work that everyone in the natural hair industry as stylists have been doing has been just circulating and circulating. You've got Pinterest, Tumblr, what's that new one now? Oh, gosh. It'll come to me in a minute. Instagram. Mm-hmm. Instagram is a big one right now in terms of Facebook.
I don't know about that one. I need to get into that one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Instagram is a very big one right now. So because of that, everybody are seeing all the styles that, you know, everyone is doing. And even when my styles get out there, I always get comments on my pictures. If I can style my locks like this, I'll wear them. Or I didn't mm-hmm. know that when my clients are here and other people, I have other clients in the salon, I'm always hearing comments, wow, I didn't know that you could do that with your locks. And mm-hmm. what I normally do, too, is sometimes I give complimentary styles, and I do that mm-hmm. purposely just to let them know. And I did it twice for the holidays. Mm-hmm. You know, I always ask mm-hmm. if they're going out, and I gave 2 clients curls. And the mother was like, oh, my gosh, I did not know that you could do that with locks. I said, wow. You have to remember that locks It's still here. And the same things you do with your hair in terms of how you style it, you can just do the same thing with locks. Locks are just bigger strands of hair. So that's some of the complementary things that I do, again, to show the progression of locks and to let everyone know that this is an embraceable thing. Not only that, these are styles that you can wear to work, you can wear to play, and you can wear, you know, for a function or whatever. You can make your locks look whatever you want. Everything is function appropriate.
You know, 6 years ago, if somebody had told me I would have been doing lock, I would tell them they're crazy because it was nowhere on my radar that I was going to do that. And then all of a sudden, I adopted a lifestyle change in my eating habit. And I was thinking, in order to complete this package, I need to have my hair natural. Because here I am, going raw vegan. So why am I going to put process in my hair? Something doesn't add up. You know? So people who know me back in Jamaica, when I went there with my baby locks, they can't believe it.
I try to stay open-minded from the standpoint of, like I said, with my clients, I service clients who have natural hair, and I service clients who have relaxed hair. Because going natural is not for everybody in terms not everybody is going to get there. My philosophy is whether you're natural or whether you're relaxed, your hair is relaxed, stay healthy.
Eat healthy and
keep your hair healthy and feed it with healthy things. Because remember, when you buy a car and they said to you, you've got to put, you know, super, even though it's expensive, we don't want our car to break down.
So what do we do?
We spend that extra money and we put that super in our car, even though it's expensive. Well, consider your car, your body to be a Rolls Royce. You're going to treat that Rolls Royce with care. You're going to make sure you polish it. You put the best in there and you're going to, you know, look after it really good. We should be doing the same thing with our body because what we put in, I see clients who come and they have, you know, dry hair, split ends. Dandruff, and they're wondering how come, you know, all of these things are going on with their hair. A lot of times it's related to diet.
That's right.
You know, what
that's
we're eating.
Right.
It can be due to,
right?
Also, medications can affect the different things going on with our hair and stress. So, you know, looking after your body, regardless of what you do, is one way to take care of your hair.
Yes.
And I also wanted to address the point you made in terms of locks in the workplace and even natural hair in the workplace. As you know, I always say to people, if you're going to a dinner party, you're going to want an elegant updo. If you're going to a picnic, you're not going to want to go to a picnic in an elegant updo and an evening dress. You want a hairstyle that's a little more casual, shorts and T-shirts. Why? And sneakers. Why? Because you're going to a picnic. Would you go to a picnic? I don't want to use the word picnic. If you're going to a cookout, would you go to a cookout in heels? No, you wouldn't. So it's the same thing. If you're going to work and you have locks, make sure your locks are neat. It's styled neatly. Don't go in there with elaborate hairdos and colors of all different colors and then complain, oh, they don't embrace my natural hair. You know, it's not work appropriate. Not your locks, just the way it's styled. So, you know, see, and another thing people ask me, well, how do I find someone? You can Google what you're looking for. You can Google locks within your particular area. If you see someone out on the streets, you know, when you go to the mall or wherever, don't be afraid to ask that person who did their hair because that's a great way to find someone because you're seeing firsthand how it's done. And if you can't find someone, in the meantime until you do, try to, you know, use healthy products on your hair, take a look at it, be informed, you know, find out who are the leaders in the industry and email them or Facebook them and ask them questions personally if you're not sure. The other thing I want to point out is if you're looking to YouTube, you also have to remember that a lot of the information you're getting on YouTube is from somebody who's trying out a product that's working
for
them.
For them.
What
right.
works
that's
for
right.
one does not work for all.
Work
so
for everybody.
If you're using
mm-hmm.
a product that's working for you, especially, and I'm addressing locks right now, and someone says, oh, you know, I've been using beeswax and shea butter on my hair, raw shea butter, and it works really well. You need to avoid that if you're using locks. It might
mm-hmm.
work well on that person's natural hair based on what they're doing. It is
mm-hmm.
not work for yours. So
for everybody.
Just remember
yeah,
when you're, yes, when you're looking at something, if it sounds good and it's something you want to try, confirm it with somebody in the industry, even if they're not
mm-hmm.
in your area. You know, a lot
that's
of
right.
us are welcome to people, you know, Facebooking us or emailing us and asking pertinent questions, because it's better to ask questions than to ruin your locks. And I emphasize that because they come in my chair all the time.
Yeah, and I remember I did the same thing because my nephew have beautiful lock home. And he said, Aunt Daphne, oh, put beeswax. And I remember I called you and you said, no, 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 no. And I'm thinking, oh, look how nice the white stone is. And she tell me no. But then I said, you are professional, you know. It's
yeah,
a
beeswax,
whole different thing.
Mm-hmm. plugs the locks, builds up, and you
mm-hmm.
cannot get it out. I have a client this week, his hair was rotting.
Mm.
The locks that he had, when I was washing, it was his hair was just coming out in my hand, and he
wow.
had beeswax from one end
wow.
of his locks to the other. It was just a mess. Every time I squeezed it, I showed him what was coming out. He could not believe, and I said, "This
wow.
is." I mean, I did so many different things to try
mm.
to get it out, but
wow.
I do have to wrap up because I do have another
yes.
appointment.
Yes, so and that's what I was going to tell you to do, to summarize. Give people the high points, what you want to leave them with, and how to get in touch with you, Maria. And thank you for being on the show and just adding value to the customers, to my listeners.
Well, I also want to say thank you very much for having
You're
me
welcome.
On the show. You know, this is something we've tried, and so I'm glad we finally had the opportunity to be on the show. I really do appreciate you doing that. And I also want to wish you continued success. What I admire about you is that you let nothing stop you. Every time
Thank
I speak
you.
To you, you're always positive. You're a go-getter. And I want to be like you when I get younger. There you go.
Thank you. Thank you.
So
Thank
to the general
you,
public, what I would say is, in order to, if as it relates to hair, in order for you to go natural or go, you know, have locks, I will chime on Dr. Deanne, and that is declutter you in order for you to move forward. You know,
mm-hmm.
look at your inner self and clear out any negative energies, and that way you can open yourself up to receive positive energies. Also, do follow your dream if that is to go natural, and not worry about what anybody else has to think or say, because going natural is a reconditioning of the mind. So
That's
do
right.
not be, and my second one would be, do not be afraid. After you've decluttered, don't be afraid to embrace yourself, because it's empowering to do whatever it is, whether it go natural or whatever goals that you want to pursue. It's empowering to be able to do that. And also, knowledge is power. So, you know,
That's
keep
right.
yourself educated, read, you know, be informed, and listen to the positive forces that are around you, and do not leave God out of your life.
Thank you.
Again, I'm Maria Thompson with Twists and Curves, specializing in braids, locks, twists, and natural hair. If you are a stylist and need more by way of education, you can go to the website, which is Twist and Curves. That's TwistAndCurves.com. I do have a line of instructional DVDs for your to take home with you. You can follow me on Facebook. I always try to give out a lot of information as much as I possibly can. If there are hair shows that are going around, I normally try to post them on my page so people can know what's going on in their areas. You can also email me at maria@twistandcurves.com. And again, I'm on Facebook.
All right.
And I welcome any questions. Not a problem.
All right. Well, thank you so very much for hanging out with me. And, you know, I wish you continued success. And I look forward to seeing you real soon.
Sounds good. Sounds good. You take care.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I want to thank the people in the chat room. I want to thank the people who called in and on the line. And I want you to share this segment with everybody because I know that it's time for us to live. Everybody needs to change. Everybody needs to reinvent. Everybody needs to just live. Live life to the fullest. And live life because it makes you feel good, not because somebody else wants you to do such and such a thing. So I want to remind you that you are all created for a destiny. And I want to thank Mr. Walter Misch, who is my new producer. Thank you, Walter. Happy New Year to you. And thank you for joining on. For the gentleman who called in from New York to support Maria and all the other people who called in, I want to thank you, thank you, thank you. Share this link with somebody else. If you have not yet followed us, follow me on Twitter at Dynamic Daphne, facebook.com/Dynamic Daphne. And I'm all out there. Google my name, go to my website, get some free products, and I look forward to seeing us work together this year so that I can be part of your reinvention project and process. Remember that you were created for a why. Why don't you connect, uncover, unconnect with your why? Not the why of your spouse, your siblings, your parent, but your why. Go for it. The only limitation there will be is the fact that you are too fearful to uncover and connect with your why. But once you connect with your why, you will be part of this new change in our world. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I look forward to hearing you on Sunday again on Wednesday. Stay blessed. Stay blessed.
For showing Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this name. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this name. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. You feel it in your spirit? Tell the Lord. Hallelujah. For showing me. Almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. Then I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. He's a strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah.